And I pray that each one of us would realize that. We're going to stand here in just a few moments. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Galatians. And while you're finding your place there, let me say to those of you who pray for Sister Mary Yancey, she sends a word of thanks. Her procedure went well yesterday. She's at home resting. And we praise the Lord for her successful procedure that she had in the hospital yesterday. But if you would, please continue to pray for Sister Mary. And then also, if you would, pray for Sharon. She's not doing well at all tonight. Very rare that Sharon's not doing well. And she's down in her back, of all things. And so I want you to pray for her, if you would. She tried two times to make a go at it, but she just couldn't do it. So if you would, please remember Sharon in your prayers. And if you have a request that you would like to be put on the prayer list, see Sister Doris and get it to her so that it could be put on the prayer list and it could be distributed out and our church could pray about that request that you have. Galatians chapter number 1, if you would stand to your feet, give you an opportunity to stretch. We've been sitting for some time, but I want to give you an opportunity to stand, and I want to talk with you a little bit about this man, Paul. We'll read the first five verses of Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for a church that we could come to, a people that have a desire, a hungering for the knowledge of God. Lord, I pray that we would learn from your word tonight some things that would help us in our Christian growth and development. Help us to learn some things that would help us in our walk with thee. And I pray that you would knit our hearts together as a body of believers, that we would realize that we serve the one true and living God, and that you are with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to walk even also as Jesus walked when he was here upon this earth. And God, we cannot do that without the filling of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit in my life and the lives of the believers that make up Fellowship Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Just looking at some of the things, I had a young lady hand me this picture tonight. And at first I thought she was going to tell me that was me. I'm glad she didn't. Amen. But I get some strange looking pictures. And I'm not really sure what the message is behind that. Like I said, I hope it's not personal. I hope it's just they colored a picture and wanted to give it to the preacher. Amen. But praise the Lord for that. I'm glad little children think about their pastor. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. I never turn away pictures. I never turn away when the little children want to come up and talk to me. I don't ever want to be too busy to send the little children away. I always want to take the time and say something to the children when they come up. Oftentimes, during the shaking hands and fellowship, the children will come up here, and I'll have in the back of my mind, I see a visitor that I want to get to, but you know what? I don't ever want to turn the little children away. I don't ever want them to think, well, the preacher just don't want to, you know, see me or speak to me. And I pray that you would be the same way. You know, those little children look up to us, and one day they're going to replace us. And I want them to see that we care about them so that they, in turn, will care about the children of their generation. I pray that you would keep that in mind. I want to talk to you about this man, Paul, again. We talked about him a little bit last week. The book of Galatians is a great book. All the Bible's great. It just is. You say, well, I've heard that many times. It's because it's so. The Bible is a wonderful book. It's wonderful. And the more you study it, the more you hunger and thirst to know more about it. Let's talk about this man, Paul. Who was he? Why was he writing this special letter? When I say special, it's the only epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to a plural group of churches. Now, he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, at Philippi, at Colossae, at Ephesus, at Rome, at Corinth. But here, if you'll notice, he said in verse number 2, unto the churches, plural. He wrote to individuals, Timothy, two letters, Titus, and Philemon. But here he's writing to some plural bodies of believers, local assemblies, that when we get a little deeper into our study, that he and Barnabas planted on their first missionary journey. They went, you know, from Antioch and through Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. They traveled through that way. And of course, these are some areas, the churches of this area here of Galatia, right there in Asia Minor. And so these works that Paul was now writing back to were works, many of them, maybe all of them, were works that were founded, started, planted on his first missionary journey. Now, since he had been there, there had been some Judaizers, some people who mix law and grace. Now, this group of people is still around today. And so I want you to listen very carefully. Don't think that this group of people is no longer around. There's still people who mix law and grace. There's still people who say, well, you know, you're saved by grace, but you're kept by the things you do or the way you live. Or in other words, they say you can lose your salvation. That's mixing law and grace. That's mixing grace and works. And it's not only error, it's heresy. And we'll get into that in some services to come. But don't take that lightly. That's a very serious thing. Now, Paul paid a price. And you and I do not have to pay a price, but Paul paid a steep price, okay? Paul was followed around by these people. Now listen to me. Followed around by a group of legalists who said, you know what? There's certain things you have to do in order to get saved or remain saved, or you'll lose it or you never can have it. And they followed him around, and they were always trying to get people to come against him. Many times, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was run out of town. And we'll look at some of that tonight. And now, what they would try to do, as this book will tell us, is they would go into some of the works that Paul and his missionary team had started, and what they would do is that they would start trying to tell them and teach to them what Paul said in verse number 6 of chapter 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. He said, I'm shocked. I marvel. I'm surprised at you that you would allow a man to tell you something that's not God ordained. And he said, I'm surprised that you didn't prove them. Brethren, can I tell you something? Prove all things. When someone tries to tell you something that the Bible says, see if it's what the Bible says and not just what some preacher or denomination or some false prophet says. It's very important to prove all things. Try the spirits, John said it. See whether they be of God or not. Now, what had happened is Paul had ushered in a new message. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. And we're going to turn back from Galatians to Acts. So I want you to go back to Acts chapter number 9. In Acts chapter number 9, we find the conversion of this man, Paul. Remember last week, we said that there were 13 books of the New Testament that began the same way. What was that way that they began? Somebody just say it out loud. Paul. How's the book of Romans start? Paul, 1 Corinthians, Paul, 2 Corinthians, Paul, Galatians, Paul, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul, Paul, they all began the same way. Paul. Isn't that something? All of those books began the same way. 13 of the 27 New Testament books began the exact same way. Now, many of these books also have something else in common that we'll get to in just a moment that's very important. They have something in common. Because Paul started off these works under, listen, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He put his name there for a purpose, but he not only put his name, he put his position. Because Paul's apostleship, his calling, was constantly under scrutiny. It was, wow. Hey man, how's that for being under scrutiny? I kind of like that ringtone though. His apostleship was constantly being called into question. Constantly being called into question. People were saying, well, you know, he wasn't chosen by the apostles. He wasn't there with the other 11 when Judas took his life. He just kind of took, here comes this new guy into town with a new message, and we're supposed to accept him. But let's see how that happened. Now remember what we said. Remember? What was the message that Jesus told the apostles to go, the disciples, those 12 when he sent them? Who remembers where that was found? Matthew, what chapter was it? 10. So let's turn there too, okay? I want you to see this. Because sometimes people forget this, all right? Can I tell you, when Jesus was on this earth, in Matthew chapter number 10, he sent them out two by two, the 12. And I want you to notice what Jesus told them to do. And I want you to notice what Jesus now told them to preach. It wasn't the gospel of the grace of God. Please understand this. In Matthew chapter number 10, are you there? It's very important. This is what Jesus said, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12, and he gives us the names of the 12 disciples, okay? Now, go down if you would in verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, don't you forget that. All right? This is Jesus. This is in his earthly ministry. And he is sending the 12 out to preach. And he said, do not go into the Gentiles. Let's follow on. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Who are they going to go to? But go rather, verse number 6, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sending them out to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message. Read it. That he sent them out. Now, when Jesus was crucified and when he resurrected from the dead, if you'll turn back to Acts chapter number 1, I said 9, but we'll get there in a moment. In Acts chapter 1, we have something very interesting that took place. After, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had resurrected, he showed himself by many infallible proofs. Verse number 3 says, being seen of them in the middle of verse number 3, 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the gospel of grace? Nope. To the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, now don't miss this, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait, and you need to underline that word, it's a very key and important word, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power, in other words, wait, okay, after. Don't get ahead of me. You're going to get the power to do what I commission you to do. Are you getting this? Wait. Don't get ahead of me. It's what he's telling them. You're going to get power, but I want you to wait. And you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Now what the scripture says? In Jerusalem, verse number 8, and all Judea, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, then he was taken up. Now, he had just got through telling them, I'm not going to restore the kingdom. I've got something for you to do, and you'll find out what it is after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So just wait. Wait, he said. Did they wait? Did they? Look at verse number 15 of Acts chapter 1. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. And he said, Men and brethren, we must do what Jesus said and wait. That's not what Peter did. Peter was not only impetuous, he was impatient. And he said, We've got to get us a disciple to fill in for Judas. And he said, We're going to cast lots. You can read this. It's right here. And he talks about Judas committing suicide. You can read that in verse number 18, where he hung himself and fell, and his bowels burst as he fell headlong. And it says, you know, and he quoted a psalm, and he said, We got to fill in for it. But that's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, I don't want you to do anything, but wait. Now, can I tell you, and I just want to use this kind of as a teaching point right here. Sometimes God tells me that. And sometimes God tells you that. And can I tell you, it's hard just to wait, isn't it? It's hard to wait on God. But did you know the psalmist said, Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The psalmist also said, Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes God just wants us to wait. Just wait. But we can't wait. Peter, he said, Oh, we got to fill this office. We got to get that 12th disciple in there. Don't forget this now. This is very important to why Paul is fighting the battles that he's fighting to prove his apostleship. So what do they do? Now you know that you're messing up when you have to draw straws or roll the dice to find out God's will. How many of you say amen right there? Amen. Wouldn't it be something if a young man from our church stepped up and said, God's called me to the mission field. And then another man stepped up and said, God's called me to the mission field. And we said, Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out where God's called you to. The long straw is Africa. And the short straw is Hawaii. Well, I tell you right now, somebody's going to be praying. Amen. I want you to watch what the disciples did. Jesus said, I want you to wait now until the Holy Ghost comes upon you. After that, the Holy Ghost has come. Acts chapter 2 hasn't happened yet. The day of Pentecost, listen, they only had to wait 10 days. It was 40 days. Read Acts 1 verse 3. 40 days. He said, wait. Couldn't wait 10 days to the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up and he said, We got to get this thing done here. I mean, man, I can't wait. It's fallen upon us to get us a man. And we've narrowed it down to two. You can find that if you want to look in verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice. Listen, if you got that many names, it's probably not meant for you to be an apostle. Say amen. And Matthias. All right? Let's come down to these two. And so here's what we're going to do. And they prayed Verse number 24, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. God didn't choose them. They tried to make themselves believe that God chose these men. God didn't choose these men. God had him a man in mind. Can I tell you? He had him a man in mind. He did. They were doing this in the energy of the flesh. Now, I've done some things in the energy of the flesh, and you have too. And we mess up every time. I'm glad God doesn't stomp us and stamp us out every time we do something in the energy of the flesh. How many of you can say amen right there? And many of the times when we do something in the energy of the flesh, it's for the same reason the disciples didn't hear. They would not wait. They had to move on. Got to get this done. Got to fill this slot. Got to get it done. And so the Bible says in verse number 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they didn't wait. And God sent the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God fell. And the Bible says that they were Jews, devout men, out of every nation, verse number 5 of chapter 2, under heaven. And old Peter stood up and he preached, and 3,000 men got saved, not counting women and children. But they were Jews. All right? And God had told them in chapter number 1 and verse number 8, he said, if you'll wait when the Holy Ghost comes, he said, I'll make you witnesses to all the uttermost part. But did you know that you can just read and read and read, and they never did. They never did go. So God sends persecution, right? Right? Chapter 8. Look at chapter 8 if you would. Stephen fell. He was preaching. They stoned him to death. They came and they laid their cloaks down at Saul's feet. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 1 that Saul was consenting unto his death, meaning Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. Where was the church? At Jerusalem. All right? Don't miss this now. Jews, devout men. The church was made up of Jews. All right? And so, the Bible says that God scattered the church. Look at chapter 8, verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Now, if you're not careful, you'll read that and you'll say, well, that's it. That's how the gospel got out to all the Gentile people. Let's just see. Now, I want you to watch what happens here. Don't miss this, all right? The first thing I want you to notice is the very end of verse number 1. For years, I read this and I missed it. Look at it. It says that Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Look at those last three words. Except the apostles. They didn't leave Jerusalem. They stayed. They had a commitment to the church at Jerusalem, and persecution didn't run them off. But the rest of them were scattered. And the Bible says that the rest of them, in verse number 4, went everywhere. Is that what the Bible says? Look at it now, chapter 8, verse 4. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. You with me? Now turn to chapter 11. In chapter number 9, you can turn to chapter 11. In chapter 9, God said, now I'm going to choose the one that I want to be the 12th apostle. Amen? Men had made their choice. Can I tell you something? I challenge you to go through the rest of the Bible and you'll never find the name Matthias again. Man made his choice and God said, that's not my choice. I told you to wait. Wait. You didn't wait. You made a choice. I don't honor your choice. I've got a man and I've got a purpose for that man. Your man cannot do what my man is going to do with the purpose I'm going to give him. You understand what's happening here? See, the Jew, listen, those 11 had a mindset to reach the Jews. They stayed in Jerusalem. They were committed to the church at Jerusalem. But God said, I've got a man in mind that's going to take the gospel to the uttermost parts. He's going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Matthias was just going to blend in with the rest of them. In chapter 9, God met this man. And you know the story, right? You know the story. God struck him down. And God confronted him. And Saul got converted. He said, he struck him blind. In chapter 9 now. He struck him blind. I said turn to 11. We'll get there in a moment. Go back to chapter 9. I feel like God wants me to tell you a few things here. All right? He struck him blind. You've got to see this. And when he struck Saul blind, he brought a man into his life by the name of Ananias, and he said, I want you to go, and I want you to put your hand on my servant Saul's shoulder. He'll know. He'll know who you are. And he said, I want you to assist him. And that's exactly what took place in verse number 21 of Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and come hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now, who was he confounding? Come on. The Jews. Saul. Jews. All right? It says in verse number 23, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, there's two reasons the Jews took counsel to kill him. All right? One, because he switched sides. Two, he was preaching a different message. We're going to see that message here in just a moment. He was preaching a different message. He was proven, the Bible says, in the latter part of verse 22, that this is very Christ. This was the Messiah. And that there's a new age dawning. There's a new system going to be in place and a new dispensation. And this man that God had chosen, Saul, was going to bring all that about. Now, if you'll look, it says in verse number 24, it says that when the Jews came upon him and wanted to kill him, there was disciples. Now, don't mistake these for the apostles. There was some disciples. God had given, verse 24, Saul, he had given him insight, and he knew that they were watching him coming in out of the gate. And so the disciples took him by night in verse 25 and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You see Saul's dilemma? You following what's happening? You see what's going on? Here's a man that genuinely got saved. And God said, I want you to be a part of my 12. But I've got something different for you to do. It's not going to be the ministry of the others. Yours is not going to be the ministry of the circumcision. Yours is going to be ministry to the uncircumcised. I'm making you the apostle to the Gentiles. And when he went to meet with the disciples, they were afraid of him. Well, you would have been too. Remember what we said last week? Paul didn't do things halfway. He just didn't. Paul was relentless. Paul was he was an all-in kind of guy. If he came after you, he would go get the letters and he would hunt you down like a bounty hunter and he would bring you in. Listen, he was very serious about serving God. Oh yeah, he was doing it the wrong way, but he was doing it for the wrong cause, but he was doing it the right way. He was doing it with a passion. It meant something to him. Because he really felt like he was doing what God wanted. Well, when the disciples of Christ heard of him, they were afraid of him and they said, you're not really a disciple. But thank God that there's always somebody. Now watch how God always has someone that's willing to reach out. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. It says in verse number 30 that when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and they sent him forth to Tarsus. So he goes back. All right, so here's Paul. He gets saved. He makes a brief visit to Jerusalem and then he goes back to Tarsus. And they probably thought, well, we'll never hear any more out of him again. But if you'll turn to chapter number 11 and look in verse number 19, remember those people that were scattered abroad and whenever we're preaching the word? How many of you look right up here at me? How many of you remember reading that in chapter 8? They were all scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. Remember that? You think, well, they were probably getting all kinds of Gentiles saved. Look in chapter 11 and verse number 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. So see, that's identifying the time that we're talking about. You with me? You got to follow me. How many of you is following me? All right, the rest of you get on board. Amen? You got time to catch up. This is important. So it says in verse number 19, those that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. Now don't you miss this next part. To none, but unto the Jews only. Man, these people were set on one thing. Amen. They were only going to preach to Jews. They were not going to the Gentiles. See, Jesus had sent them and he said, don't you go to the Gentiles. Don't you go to Samaria. You go to the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they had that embedded in them. And after the day of Pentecost, they could not shake it. And even when they were scattered abroad in other places, they would look up synagogues and Jews. And the Bible says here in verse number 19 that they went to different places where there were different nationalities of people, but they found the Jews and they preached the gospel. They preached the word to none but the Jews only. How many of you see that? That's important to understand. So here they are. Peter, John, here they are. The disciples, still preaching to the Jews. But now God's getting ready to say, I want to introduce you to somebody who's got a new ministry that I've given him. Now, Paul went to Arabia. Have you got your hand in Galatians? I told you to keep your hand there in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1. If you'll look in chapter 1 and verse number 1, look at what Paul said. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Now, what do you mean, Paul? I mean that when those 11 got together and appointed the number 12, it wasn't me. Okay? I'm not their choice. But that's okay with me because I was God's choice. Amen. That's why Paul said, Paul, an apostle. See, I had to do all that so you can understand. And it's very important you understand this. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Man didn't choose me. God called me. By the way, that's the way it still is. I get nervous when I hear people say, yeah, I decided I was going to start preaching. Wait a minute. The call to the ministry is a call from God, not of man. God calls men to preach. You say, well, my mama chose me. That's probably why there's a bunch of mixed up people under your ministry. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you understand something here. Man does not choose preachers. God calls preachers. God calls preachers. And Paul wanted to make it very clear. Man didn't choose me. God appointed me. as an apostle born out of due time. I was chosen of God, and I had a specific ministry. What was that ministry, Paul? Look down in chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul said, when God saved me, when I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, I didn't get together with that group, that council down there in Jerusalem, and them tell me what to preach. He said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Notice what he said in verse number 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when Paul got saved, and you can find this, if you'll look down in verse number 17, Paul said, look at verse 16 of chapter 1 of Galatians, to reveal a son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. And you know how long he was there? Look at verse 18. 3 years. What happened in that 3 years? God gave Paul the revelation, the mystery of the church, the mystery of the grace dispensation, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul began to preach to the Gentiles the gospel. Now, when he went up to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas, remember what happened? Turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, Paul, after he went back, Barnabas, there were some people in those Grecians that got saved, and the Jews sent them down there and said, hey, what's these people doing saying they're saved? They're not saved. They're not circumcised, and they're not keeping the law of Moses. Look at it, chapter 11. Remember those people in verse number 19, the Jews, says that they got saved. And then if you look at verse number 20, I'm in chapter 11 of the book of Acts. It says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, and which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. I mean, they went preaching to none but the Jews only, but those Grecians were there, and they heard the message, and they got saved. And the Bible says, the hand, in verse 21, of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned into the Lord. Now, this shouldn't surprise any of us. Shouldn't shock any of us. Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God and the salvation. Amen. You can think you're directing it toward one people, but I'm going to tell you something. If ears hear the gospel, the Spirit of God begins to move, the gospel of Christ will save anyone. Now, they went there to preach to none but the Jews only, but these Grecians heard it. And they got saved. And I want you to notice what the church at Jerusalem did. This is almost comical, but it's very sad. But they didn't know. It was a transitional time. Look, the book of Acts is a transitional period. Notice what happened. Verse number 22. Many of them now, remember verse 21, turned to the Lord. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Barnabas, go down there and find out what's going on, man. These Grecians are saying that now they're believers. We're preaching to Jews. Now these Grecians say they are. And so Barnabas goes down there. Watch the wisdom of this man. So Barnabas goes, look in verse 23, who, meaning Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He said, listen, you're not Jews, but the grace of God's been extended to you. Amen. Just cleave unto the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I can never find where Barnabas went back to Jerusalem and said, hey, boys, we got a problem. There's some people down there that believes that shouldn't believe. Amen. That's like some folks, you know, they hold these meetings and they're trying to get the upper class and the high class and the classy, and the gospel of God reaches the derelicts, amen, the down and outers, the skid rows, and they come into the church, and people start getting a little offended, saying, "Hey, what's going on? Our church is getting dirty." Ah, hush, amen. You ought to be glad that God's still saving those sinners. And that's what happened here. Barnabas went down there and he said, "Praise God." And the Bible says that he told them with purpose of heart they should cleave. And this is what the Holy Ghost said about Barnabas because he had that attitude. Look at verse 24. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." That's a good report from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now what you're going to do, Barnabas, you got some people who are not, now watch carefully. You've got some people who are not Jews who were saved now. Where are they going to go to church? What are they going to do about growing? Barnabas said, "I know just the man." Don't you miss this now. Look at the very next verse of Scripture. In verse number 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus." He said, "I know a man that can help these people." Amen. He didn't go get Peter. He didn't go get John. He didn't go get one of the 11. He said, "I know a man that's got God all over him and that God has a special ministry to these people." Brethren, I'm telling you, if that doesn't bless your heart's not going to be blessed. God's always got somebody. God's always got somebody that can help meet needs of a people. And here was a people that felt a little out of place. They were saved, and the church sent Barnabas down there to report, like, "What's going on down there?" And Barnabas said, "Hey, folks, listen. I'm here, but listen, you're in, rejoice, cleave unto the Lord, serve Him." And no doubt he said, "I'll be back." And the Bible says he went to Tarsus to get Paul. And when he found him, look at it, verse 26, "He brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people." And that's why the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Then you can read the rest of that chapter and you'll find where there was a prophet stood up and he said, "There's going to be a great famine, a dearth on the earth." And it was. And Paul and Barnabas in verse number 30 says that the brethren sent Paul and Barnabas with a gift to help them by the hands of Paul and Barnabas. And they went to the church of Jerusalem and they helped them. I want to show you two more things and I'll be through tonight. I'm trying to show you why Paul had to always defend his apostleship, why he had to write back to some of these churches because people said, "Paul's a fake. His message is not the same as Peter's. His message is not the same. He's preaching this license to sin. He's preaching this grace stuff." By the way, after Paul and Barnabas got back to Antioch, after they took this relief, you see it there in Acts chapter 11? Look at it one more time in Acts chapter 11. They took this relief down to Jerusalem and to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, verse 29, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And then they went back to Antioch. And the Spirit of God said, "I need some men. I want two." Now I want you to watch the difference the way God does things and men does things. You ready for this? Remember Acts chapter 1? Shaking the dice, amen? Right? Shaking the dice. Who's it going to be? Come on, snake eyes. Right? Shaking the dice, casting the lots. Come on, right? That's the way man does things. Chance. Listen to me. Chance. But now God's getting ready to choose two men. Remember they had two men, remember? Matthias and Justus or Sabas, remember? They had two men. And the Bible says they cast lot. Oh, here. Now watch what God needs two men too. Acts 13, you ready? Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 1. "Now, there were in Antioch, in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers," and it names them, all right? "Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Lucius, Cyrene and Menean. They brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had shook the dice," when they had tore the prayer cloth or sprinkled the holy water, that's not what it says. When they fasted and prayed, that's what God's looking for. Amen? God's not looking for a man to get ahead of Him and go by chance. God said, you want to get my mind on something? Here's the way you do it. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Look at verse 4. And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. They didn't get sent forth by men. They got sent forth by the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. And they went out on what's known as the first missionary journey. And that's where these churches of Galatia come in. You can read. You say, man, I tell you, I'd love to be a preacher. I just love to, man, it's like a big vacation and all expenses paid, you know, just see the world. Boy, Paul had it made. Yeah, I know. Look at chapter 14, verse number 9. Chapter 14, verse number 19. In chapter 14, in verse number 19, the Bible says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Now, these people were following Paul around everywhere. No matter where Paul went, there was a group of people always following him around, denouncing his apostleship, denouncing his message, saying he's a fake, he's a fraud, and trying to stir up a riot against Paul. And oftentimes, Paul was run out of town. You know this, right? You've read the book of Acts. He was run out of town. And so here he is, having the time of his life, right? Right? Sucking drinks out of a little glass with a little, you know, whatever, straw hat. I mean, Paul had it made. You know what the Bible says happened to Paul? Chapter 14, verse 19. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They stoned him till they thought he was dead, then drug him outside the city and left him there, thinking, you know, let the buzzards feed on him. What do you think Paul did? Quit? Paul said, that's it. If God's this way, I'm going to quit. That's not what Paul did. Paul got up, shook himself off. Dr. Luke administered some healing remedies to him, and he went on to serve God, finished out that first missionary journey. Now I know why it was a little hard on Mark. Hey, man, old John Mark, you know, he turned and went back home. Paul said, I ain't going for that stuff. Got back into town, and you would think people would say, come here, Paul. Missionary. Paul, we want to tell you we appreciate you. Hey, this is chapter 14, verse number 19. If you know anything about chapter 15, you'll know what I'm getting ready to tell you. Come here, Paul. We thank God for you and Barnabas. Man, you put it all on the line for God out there to go tell people about Jesus Christ. We love you, brother. We prayed for you. We thank God for you. Thank God for the many souls. You think that's what happened? They get back into Jerusalem and they call them in and say, hey, tell us what went on. And they started telling him. I said, that's not right. Look in chapter 15. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They said, oh no, that's not the message we preached, and that's not the message that God wants preached to the Gentiles. It's not about the law of Moses and circumcision anymore. Right? Right? And they had to go down to meet with a quorum of leaders, of elders in Jerusalem, and they came to this conclusion, verse number 11 of chapter 15. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And I want to say amen. Brethren, that's the message right there. That's the message right there. You hone in on that message right there. It's not works. It's not law. Listen now. It's grace. It's all of grace. I said it's all of grace. Not most. It's all of grace. And Paul said, this is the way it is. I'll fight for it. I'll die for it. It's of grace. I know what Jesus told me to preach, and I'm going to preach what Jesus told me to preach. Now, if you go back to Galatians, this, I said there were two things, this is it. That's why when Paul opened up some books, he said, I want you to know that I didn't take this up. I was going in a different direction. I was on the road to Damascus, and suddenly there appeared, amen, I mean this shining light, and I heard a voice out of heaven. And that's why Paul said, Paul, an apostle, not of men. It's not of men. Go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to turn just to Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, just a couple of things. You say, I don't like this turning. Well, that's all right. You all know where Romans is. I'm not asking you to go to Obadiah. Amen? Just Romans. Romans chapter 1. Look at the way it starts. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, this next phrase is very important, called to be an apostle. Paul said, I didn't take this up. This is not something that I decided to do. I was called to be an apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll not turn to every one of them. I just want to turn to a couple to get so you'll get the idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I wasn't only called, but I like what he adds in 1 Corinthians, and this will be the final one. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. You know, the will of God used to mean something to people. It did. It trumped everything else. The will of God meant something to people. Now I'm afraid that we're shaking the dice and splitting the hairs or drawing the straws and operating by chance. And I want to encourage you. You don't have to live life that way. I don't have to live life that way. If we do, it's because we choose to. God has a perfect will for your life and for my life. And don't you think that the perfect will of God is going to be an easy road or a bed of roses. You're going to have peace. But it also may bring persecution. Paul didn't have an easy road. But he had peace in his heart with the road that God had for him. And I do too, and I believe you do too. And so I wanted to just tonight talk with you about Paul's apostleship. It meant something to him because God called him to it. And he faced a lot of adversity. A lot of adversity because he had a different message. The message of grace. So the next time somebody tells you, oh, you Baptists, you say that once saved, always saved, that grace. Yeah, we Baptists might say that once saved, always saved, but Jesus said it's grace. It's all of grace. Amen? Saved by grace, kept by grace, sustained by grace. Amen? Strengthened by grace, restored in grace, and one day we're going to be taken out of here by grace. It's all of grace, brethren. Don't let anyone tell you any differently now. And Paul fought for it. He stood. There were many attacks against his apostleship, but he answered every one of his accusers. Called to be an apostle. Let's all stand. Now, normally, I don't have you to turn that much, but I wanted you to see what the Bible says.